out of the ruins and the rubble, out of the smoke, out of our night of struggle, can we see a ray of hope? One pale thin ray reaching for the day. We can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city. Not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. Well, we may not reach the ending, but we can start. Slowly but truly mending, brick by brick, heart by heart. Now, maybe now, we start learning how we can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build beautiful city, not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. When your trust is all but shattered, when your faith is all but killed, you can give up bitter and battered, or you can slowly start to build that beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but build a city of man. Let's build a city of man.
Thank you. And good morning, everyone. My name is Nancy Merritt. I am honored to serve on your Board of Trustees, and I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning service, and I especially want to welcome those live streaming with us. As you know, we live stream every Sunday at 9:30, and you can join us at in-person 9:30 or 11:30. You can also watch our services anytime on demand. Flowers today are in celebration of Chris Like's birthday and given by her husband, Guy Marzano. So happy birthday to Chris, and my guess is they're at the 11:30 service, but maybe you'll run into them today, but happy birthday, Chris. Reverend Phil Smedstad facilitates part two of his workshop, Preparing for a Personal Resurrection, this afternoon at 1:30. There's no need to attend part one, and I'll tell you, it was an awesome session last week. Or you can go home and shovel snow. It's up to you. Either one. I would go to his workshop. Tuesday evening is our healing and wellness service at 7 o'clock. And it's a full week this week at Unity, as you can imagine, with Holy Week coming up. We have Monday, Thursday's communion service and simple supper together, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and, of course, Saturday's extravaganza for the kids, the Easter extravaganza, and then, of course, Easter Sunday. So please join us often this week and partake of those opportunities together. There are tons of things going on in April. I'm not going to read them all because you would gloss over. So look at your order of service, please. Look at those, and those online, you have it as well. There's so many things coming up, book clubs and study groups. Please join that. That's a great way to just continue your spiritual growth by joining in those smaller group sessions. And then our shuttle bus will be running next Easter Sunday for your convenience. So please, if you feel like it, park at the Courage Kenny lot and enjoy the ride up to our building here. Check the website, our Facebook page, and our e-newsletters each week. That'll give you all the details you need. Or you can email or call the church office. And now I'd ask you to join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
Join me in our opening prayer. So I invite you, if you would, just to take that deep breath with me, and as you exhale, just relax your body. Relax your body and relax your mind. And become totally present to this present moment, totally present to that presence within you that moves through you and expresses through you as life itself. We give thanks for this divine presence that is always there, supporting, uplifting, and strengthening us regardless of the circumstances in our life. So this morning, we remember and we know this presence within as peace. Peace in our hearts and peace in the world. As joy. Joy in our life, joyful, grateful. And this morning, we know this divine presence within as health and wholeness, not only for ourselves, but we know this presence within as health and wholeness for each and every person on this planet. And for that, we are grateful. We especially hold those in prayer today that have been affected by weather, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. We behold the Christ in each and every one. And today we especially hold in prayer all those that have been affected by school shootings, mass shootings, murders. We hold them in our heart today. And we look beyond appearances just for a brief moment and know that God is present. And for that, we are grateful. So our hearts today are full of gratitude. Gratitude for each other and gratitude for life itself. So it is with great joy and great enthusiasm that together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day, okay? We invite you to stand if you're able to do so for our opening song.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, this one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with each day that passes by. There's a brand new morning, rising clear and sweet and free. There's a new day dawning that belongs to you and me. Yes, a new world's coming, the one we've had visions of. A coming in peace, a coming in joy, coming in love. There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, this one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with each day that passes by. There's a brand new morning, rising clear and sweet and free. There's a new day dawning that belongs to you and me. Yes, a new world's coming, the one we've had visions of. Coming in peace, coming in joy, coming in love, coming in love.
Thank you and be seated. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you're with us today. Does it feel good to be here?
Yes.
Yes. And we certainly welcome those that are live streaming with us today as well. We invite you, if you're in the area, to join us in our sanctuary. It's a marvelous energy here as well. If you cannot join us in our sanctuary, we welcome you and grateful that you're part of our community as well. You know, Unity is that open and welcoming, inclusive community that teaches practical things that help us to live meaningful and healthy and prosperous lives. One of our core values here at Unity Minneapolis is that of welcoming. So, my dear friends, today, if you are new or kind of new or feel like you're new today, we want to honor your presence here today. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Courage out there. New, feel like you're new, and we welcome you. We welcome you, and we welcome those that are live streaming today as well. If you're new, we especially welcome you. Looks like we're all new today. Let's applaud ourselves, okay? You know, our vision to the statement is in your order of service. Let us affirm our vision statement together. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous, spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. This is the first Sunday of the month, so it's Name Tag Sunday and also Anniversary and Birthday Sunday. So for the month of April, if you have a birthday or an anniversary, we want to honor that. We invite you to please stand just for a few moments. Yes. Birthdays and anniversaries, remain standing just for a moment. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our Unity Movement, has assigned a power to each month. And for the month of April, Charles Fillmore assigned the power of love, of love. Many people think it's February, but Charles assigned it to April. The disciple is John, the beloved. The color is pink, and love is your ability to attract, to unify, and desire. And the affirmation is, I am a radiating center of love. I am a radiating center of love. Let's affirm that together. I am a radiating center of love. Let's appreciate our birthdays and anniversaries, okay? Thank you, and you may be seated. And now the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for another 30 days. The word for today is Palm Sunday. I celebrate my awareness of the divine presence alive in me. Just as an enthusiastic crowd welcomed Jesus in Jerusalem with a spirit of great enthusiastic celebration, I commemorate Palm Sunday by opening my heart and mind to the divinity that is within me and within all others I meet today and every day. This welcoming attitude changes me at depth, making the commitment to behold the Christ in myself and each person I meet is my way of symbolically placing palm branches before them, greeting them as I would Jesus. This celebration of the divine in each person lays a path to spiritual freedom, from perfect peace within. I shout, Hosanna, as my jubilant soul celebrates. And scripture tells us, my friends. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. From John chapter 12, verse 13, the word for today is Palm Sunday.
This world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. World as it is, go inside to find my God. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is more than enough. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is sacred love. Stay as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this day as it is, go inside to find my God. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is more than enough. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is sacred love. I will leave this life as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this life as it is, go inside to find my God. Go inside to find my God. I'll go inside to find my God.
Please join me in meditation. Take a couple of deep and relaxing breaths, closing your eyes if you are comfortable. For indeed, this is a safe space. Feel yourself going within, inside where there is peace, inside where there is joy, inside where there is more than enough, always. You may even wish to place your hand on your heart as that gesture of going within. Set aside any thoughts or things or feelings that get in the way of simply being still and at peace. Feel your attention moving from your head to your heart. Take another couple deep breaths. See yourself breathing deeply into your heart space. Allow yourself to surrender to right now. Just as each season gives way to the next, let go of any attachments. Just as winter lets go to spring, surrender just like the snow to the warmth of the sun, gently melting away. Let go and feel a sense of peace, contentment, and well-being. Feel that consume your body, mind, and spirit. Mostly, feel a deep sense of peace and gratitude permeate your entire being. Please allow these words to resonate with your heart. Palm Sunday is found whenever we are serving a noble and unpopular cause with selfless devotion, holding to the ideals of truth and justice, whenever we are seeking to uplift the fallen, to comfort the brokenhearted, to strengthen and encourage the weak and hopeless. Palm Sunday is found whenever we are working bravely and persistently in the face of abuse and criticism to establish more equitable relations in the world. Whenever we are giving our lives in behalf of what we believe to be the service of love for all humanity. This is what Palm Sunday is. So today, we begin the walk to Jerusalem, this holy week. We are called to face the broken path, the abuse of power. We are called to greater levels of love and compassion. We are called to be the light for ourselves and for others. Today, we walk towards the day spring breaking through, the Easter day of joy. So let us prepare the way. Let us join together to see what holiness resides within and about us, to welcome in each moment and make holy the path for the work of God. I now invite you to take these truths deeper, deeper into the stillness, in the quiet, in the silence. I invite you to gently return to this time and place, bringing with you a deeper sense of compassion and a greater understanding that the beauty and wisdom of Palm Sunday is for today and for every day. And so it is, and so we allow it to be.
Last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King.
Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark in mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene had changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would could enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, no light to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, say, for the night is gone. Forevermore.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you very much. I'm going to tell the story. I think I've decided to tell it. Last week, someone came up to me and said, next Sunday's Palm Sunday, is Judy singing in the Holy City? I said, yes, she is. To my knowledge, I just answered. I had not checked, but we have done that for many years. So she said, that's really good. My husband will come. I thought to myself, praise God. Hallelujah, Judy. Let's get you back here every Sunday to sing Jerusalem. You know, my husband will come. My wife will come. Wow, thank you. And that story, you know, those of you that it's just a story in the lyrics. It's just beautiful. And that's one of the reasons I like it sung every year is because, you know, Jerusalem represents that habitation of peace. That's where it is, that habitation of peace. And we start out, and then we go through that crucifixion, the shadow, the cross on the hill. We go through that crucifixion. And then all of a sudden, there's a new Jerusalem. There's a new Jerusalem. And that new Jerusalem, of course, according to Charles Fillmore, is a spiritual, that spiritual Jerusalem. It's going through a transformation, just as Jesus went through that transformation. And so I relate it to my own life. You know, and more than likely, just speaking to you prior to the services, I can relate that to your life too, the things that you go through. And it feels like a sincere crucifixion, and more than likely it is. But then there's also the resurrection. There's also that resurrection, and then that new resurrection, that new, and not only do we draw these things to us, but we draw them for us. We draw them for us to grow through. And so that song, just in just a few verses, tells us of the journey that we go through. So that's not the lesson, but maybe it is, okay? Maybe it is. I'm going to start my lesson by reading from a book called Imperfect Spirituality by Polly Campbell. Get off the bookcase. I shrieked and I saw my daughter, Sweet Pea, 5 feet up, fingers and toes, curled around the edges of the shelves. No, what? I don't want to, she said, pretty sassy for someone who was hanging by her tiptoes. Get down now. I paused for compliance. But it looks like she's about to build a nest up there. Now, I say. One, two, two and a half. Dang, here we go again. Three. And I storm to the bookshelf and grab her off. Get to your room. This is unacceptable behavior. She starts to wail and stomp to her bedroom at the end of the hall as I mentally pore over the infractions. One, climbing furniture. Bad. Two, sassiness to mom. Bad and annoying. Three, generally freaking the same mom out by clinging 5 feet in the air over a wood floor without a safety harness or other climbing supplies. So, so, so bad. I take a deep breath and head to the bedroom for the post-discipline chat. She's talking quietly to her stuffed animals. And when I open the door, Sweet Pea, I say, it's not okay to, mommy. First, I need to say one thing. What? Mommy, do you always love me even when I have had bad behavior? Her eyes were boring into the cinnamon-colored bear settled in her crisscross applesauce light lap, and her hands were twisted around the little paws. But for the first time today, she is utterly silent, waiting on my answer. There are days, I'll admit, when I fantasize about running out of the house screaming, changing my identity, and moving to the tropics. Shoot, I've had days where I would fantasize about just working at Subway, just to get out of the house. But there's nothing I've ever loved more than the bookshelf climbing creature that I gave birth to. I didn't know I was capable of loving anything like I loved her. Come here, I say. She hands me the bear and then crawls under it to get into my lap. There's nothing you could do to make me not love you. I say nothing. I love you completely, no matter what. Even as I say the words to my daughter, I wonder why I don't extend myself the same compassion and kindness. Why can't I meet my own errors and imperfections with the same grace? Why, instead of forgiveness, do I mentally plummet myself for my errors? And some days I just need a hug and do over, but instead I've gotten good at feeling guilty, good at bearing the blame and criticizing and condemning myself for the unending list of stupid things I do every day. That has to change. As I read that little story, I don't have children, but I said, I bet you there's parents in this sanctuary that has children that could probably relate to that climbing creature on the bookcase. But as I read that story, mine went to, my God of my understanding, there's nothing I can do. No mistakes that I can make. No errors, regardless of how many rotten lessons I might give on the platform. Nothing I can do can keep my God from loving me. And nothing you can do. I think the challenge there is to remember it. Remember who we are and what we are and whose we are. You know, as we start into Holy Week, Jesus obviously is the central character of Holy Week. And Jesus, he's my brother, and he's my way shower, he's my teacher. And I thought as reading that, I thought, I wonder if Jesus ever got up on the bookcase. I bet he did. He probably built it first, but then got on it as the carpenter that he is. I wonder how many times Mary and his earthly father, Joseph, had to correct him as well. How many times they had to discipline. It was more, I can assure you, than just getting lost in Jerusalem and having to go after him there. But I like to think of that Jesus, and we teach it here, that Jesus is fully human, and yet divine. I want you to get that. Jesus, fully human, and yet divine. Just as we are fully human, and yet divine. So I believe with all my heart that Jesus felt all the emotions and everything that Pat Williamson felt as well. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that Jesus came into this incarnation with a high level of consciousness. But at the same time, I also believe that Jesus had to do his transformational work the same way that we have to do our transformational work. And I like to say, I don't believe he came fully Christed into this expression of life. He did his work to get there, just as you and I do our work as well. I believe that Jesus came to that conclusion that that kingdom of God was in, it came to him and through him. I believe that with all sincerity that Jesus suddenly had a purpose, a bigger purpose than a carpenter. He had that purpose, my dear friends, of telling the world his number one message of Jesus, our teacher, my dear friends, was that the kingdom of God is within. And the kingdom of God is right here, right now. And that kingdom of God is love. That was his purpose. That's a pretty doggone good purpose, is it not? And he did whatever he did at a very young calling to get that purpose out into the world. Obviously, most of the people that received that message, most of the people that received that message from Jesus was of the peasant class. So Jesus, in his third year of his ministry, he started in Jerusalem. He had done a lot of work in Galilee. And this particular day, he was in Caesarea Philippi. And that is north of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And so I think that Jesus perhaps wanted to test his ministry. And so he asked his disciples. He turned to his disciples and he said, we know what he said. You guys have been with me long enough. And he says, and who do they say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And some said, thou art Elijah, thou art Moses. In other words, implying the reincarnation of these individuals. And it was Peter, represented by faith, that turned to him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I think that at that point, Jesus, being in his full humanity and yet divine, perhaps he too thought to himself, "Oh my goodness, is my message really getting out there?" And it was then that he made his, I refer to it as the great decision in his life. Before we accomplish anything in our life, before we do anything in our life, my friends, we make a decision to do it. We make a decision to do it. And it's very interesting. In a wonderful book that I've enjoyed over and over again called The Power of Decision by Raymond Charles Barker, he says this in one of his early chapters. He says, "The world thinking has taught us to be wary of new ideas. It says to us that the better course is to wait and see. Many a great experiences have been lost because we listened to the opinion of the masses. Yet the opinions of the masses have never caused progress. Progress happens when leaders arise with new ideas." I believe that Jesus was a leader. He was a leader. And even though he questioned, "What do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" I believe it was Jesus' decision to go toward Jerusalem, to go back to Jerusalem. He says, "I've got to get my message out. I got to get my message out." And he starts back to Jerusalem. Of course, I think if he had listened to his disciples, more than likely he would not have done that. Jesus could have easily have gone home and been the carpenter, been the son. He could have easily made that choice. But he made that decision to continue to get that message out to the world. And as Jesus, as one of the scriptures says, he turned his face toward Jerusalem. He was determined to get to Jerusalem. He made that decision. And yet, scripture also tells us in Mark that 6 days in, he went up to a mountain to pray. He went up to the mountain to pray, called the Transfiguration, took place on that mountain. He took with him Peter, James, and John. Peter representing faith, James representing, John representing love, and I believe it's James that represents order. But he took these disciples with them. And of course, we know what happened in Transfiguration. We saw Elijah. We saw Moses. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. And of course, in this transfiguration, there was three tents, and Jesus was one of those tents as well. And the disciples said, "Oh, this feels so good. Let's stay up." And of course, Jesus knew that he needed to go back. He had made a decision. But one thing happened that was very important while he was there. That, my dear friends, that was so important was the fact that he heard that voice that says, "I am well pleased." That voice. Someone else, that voice was heard one other time. And that's when Jesus was baptized and began his ministry. So the fact that he heard that confirmation, And don't we sometimes want confirmation in our decisions as well? We've made that decision, and yet we want a confirmation from Spirit. A confirmation from Spirit that we know, that we know, that we know, as we talked about just last week. We want that confirmation. And Jesus continued and faced toward Jerusalem. It says it, he went up to Jerusalem. And if you may notice that, you know, he left Galilee and he went up to Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee. I think that's about 1,000 feet below sea level and about 3,000 feet for Jerusalem. So anytime we go to Jerusalem, we go up to Jerusalem, just not geographically, but we go up to Jerusalem spiritually as well. And so Jesus turned and he continued his trip to Jerusalem. So many things happened on the way to Jerusalem. It's worth your time, my dear friends, to read your Bible. Go find it. Find your Bible, where it may be, and look at it, and go to Mark, any version. It's short, sweet, and it's Mark 8 through 11, just a few chapters. And the reason I love Mark is because it was the first book that was written. You know that. It was the first book that was written. It was written about 30 years after the death of Jesus. And therefore, it is the only book as well, my dear friends, that gives us a chronological order, day by day by day, of what happened in that Holy Week. And then, of course, the other writers came along as well. And, oh, my goodness, they continued to add to what Mark had written. But if you want to really understand Holy Week, just read through Mark. It was a wonderful reading. So Jesus continues to Jerusalem. And why does he want to get there for Passover? He needs to get his message out for Passover. From what I understand, at that time, Jerusalem had about 20,000 inhabitants. 20,000 people lived in Jerusalem, which was a nice-sized city at that time. But it was during Passover, when all the pilgrimages came, that swelled to 200,000 people. So, of course, Jesus had a message that Jesus wanted to get out. That kingdom of God is within. So he arrives on that Palm Sunday, and he prepares the way. Let me just read briefly a few verses from our Bible about, what is this doing? When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it." So let's look at this a little bit. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage, Bethphage means house of figs. There was a lot of figs, and on Monday, he cursed the fig tree. That's another story, but it's right there in Mark as well. He cursed that a fig tree. And Bethphage is also a place in consciousness where grace is realized. And Bethany is a place of wailing and lamentation and signifies the demonstration over sadness and grief. What else? Who else lived at Bethany? Bethany, we know Mary and Martha lived there. Who else happened at Bethany? We know that Lazarus was raised from the dead there as well. And he said, "Go to the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a coat that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to do, what are you doing? Just say this: the Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a coat tied near a door outside of the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the coat?" And they told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. And then they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those that went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12 on the following day. You see the chronological order of how this is written. So that first Sunday, Jesus came in. Jesus, this is referred to as a pictorial presentation. Jesus wanted to picture what the prophet Zechariah had prophesied. And Zechariah, Jesus knew his scripture, and Zechariah 500 years before prophesied this in Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious. He's humble. He's riding on a donkey, on a colt, the fold of a donkey. He will cut off a chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall he cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." Oh, my goodness. He knew his scripture. He wanted to paint that picture. He wanted to ride that coat. He wanted to see what was being fulfilled, that he came and he was the purpose to come and help with that son of David as well. You might remember that David, it was during David's reign in the Old Testament, my friends, where there was peace. peace and harmony. There was also in Solomon, his son, as well, peace and harmony. And so the people under this oppression of Rome, they wanted that one more time. No wonder they were shouting to the son of David. And they expected, of course, Jesus to come in and do whatever, and probably overthrow the Roman officials, which that was not going to happen. That's another story. Overthrow those Roman officials and set up a new government. Little did they know that the kingdom that Jesus was talking about was not an external kingdom, but a kingdom within. Wow. What a lesson today. A lot of information. And you say, well, Reverend Pat, that's nice. How sweet. What's the lesson here for me today? I think the lesson for Reverend Pat today is to get in touch with your purpose. Get in touch with that purpose. And there are many ways of doing that and honoring that purpose. And then make that decision to fulfill that purpose. Make that decision to fulfill that purpose. It might mean a trip to Jerusalem. It could literally mean a trip to Jerusalem, but that's another story. It could mean a trip to Jerusalem, but it would also mean that you too are going to have to climb that climb to Jerusalem to enjoy that city of peace. And I look at it from a spiritual point of view. I want to enjoy the peace of Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem that we sang about today. I want to enjoy that, but there's also stuff for me to do, stuff for me to realize, stuff for me, practices to do in my own life. And then I think the other thing is that for me is that even though Jesus went in on that day and he went to the temple, as you can see, it was just a very quiet. He looked at the temple and he came back, according to Mark. Now, there's other scriptures that tell us that he turned over tables and other things. But he came back. And so, in many ways, maybe the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was not such a success. Because you see, on the other side of the city, there was the Roman guards coming in as well to that Passover, the Roman government as well. But maybe it was not what he had expected. And I think sometimes when we have a failure in our life, we look at it as a failure and we can stop looking at it as a failure. Rather than a setback, I like to say, we can look at it as a setup for something greater to come. And I believe that what happened on Palm Sunday was perhaps a setback or a setup for something greater to come. And of course, that greater to come was resurrection itself. I was really disturbed this week by the shootings that took place in Nashville. And I tried to relate that some way to the studying that I was doing this week with Palm Sunday, trying to bring that into today's life, today's living. And I sat there and I thought to myself, Jesus consciously made the decision to go to Jerusalem. He validated that decision and he went. Not without waxing and waning, not without some doubts, I'm sure. But he made that decision. And I thought to myself, our children go to school every day. Every day. Well, most days. And their parents make that decision for them to go. And their teachers are there with them. And I thought to myself, this is literally what I thought. Are we literally sending our children to the cross? Perhaps it's not a cross, perhaps it's not the big T, but maybe the cross is our gun laws that need to be rewritten. Amen. at those guns that need to be taken out of circulation, mass shootings. And I thought to myself, growing up in the South, I thought to myself, wow, God, I am really, God, I am okay with hunting rifles for sport. You know, I'm okay. I've seen that. And maybe even conceal weapons with license. I'm okay. But these weapons of mass destruction, I'm not okay. We have dealt with this for over 20 years. And I thought it is time for us to stop sending our children to the cross. It is time for us to stop. And I know that, and I know I'll get emails on this. Send them on, okay? I know you'll get emails on this. But for me, it's not a political issue. It's not a political issue for me. It's not. It's an issue for our children. This past Thursday, I had breakfast with a man and his two children, and they're 8 and 12 and just adorable children. And I thought to myself, we always think it can't happen here. Can't happen in this church school. And then I saw beautiful children this morning. And I thought to myself, oh my God. So each of you will be guided on what to do. But I believe with all my heart that if you have children, if you don't have children, that our laws have to be changed. They have to be changed. If not, we will continue to send our children to the cross. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. So I support your hunting guns, your whatever you need to hunt with. I support your pistols if you need these weapons of mass destruction. They must stop. Anyway, what a way to end Palm Sunday. Have you noticed that? What a way to end Palm Sunday. But see, we too have to make the decision. We have to make that decision. And it starts with people like us, and it starts with people in the voting booth, writing their representatives, doing whatever God has called you to do. But remember this, as we just finished up with the untethered soul, whatever you decide to do, if you can't do it with peace in your heart, then what we're doing is we're adding to the problem. We're not in the solution. I love you, I bless you, I behold the living presence of God within you, and so it is. Amen.
Tell everybody I'm on my way, new friends and new places to see. With blue skies ahead, yes, I'm on my way, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. Tell everybody I'm on my way, and I'm loving every step I take. With the sun beating down, yes, I'm on my way. There's nothing like seeing each other again, no matter what the distance between. And the stories that we tell will make Places to see and to sleep under the stars. Who could ask for more with a moon keeping watch over me? Not the snow and not the rain can change my mind. The sun will come out, wait and see. And the feeling of the wind in your face can lift your heart.
Judy, thank you. That was beautiful. Reverend Pat, thank you. I am so proud of you. Now is the time in our service where we get to practice that law of circulation, that law of giving and receiving. I invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. There are many ways to do that. There's a QR code in your order of service. There's Venmo, PayPal, you name it. Many ways to give. A check in the mail always works perfectly. And if you're streaming with us, you are welcome to go to our secure website to donate there. And if you would, I'll ask you to say our offertory blessing with me. It's in the order of service. We'll say that together and then one time in silence. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. So it is.
So let us take just a moment and pause and acknowledge God's presence within as the source of all good in our life. Giving thanks for the many channels that this good flows through. Grateful for this community and the difference that it is making in our lives and the lives of others. So today, sweet Spirit, give us the courage, the faith to be on our way to whatever Jerusalem we are journeying to. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. On duty Unity prayer chaplains, please stand. These individuals, they arrived early. They held sacred space in this sanctuary. They're here to hold that sacred space with you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictness of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. You know, I love praying with our prayer chaplains. I'm just going to do a little. I prayed with one before the service today, and I thank her very much for that. Also, I would like to remind you that we have wonderful activities this week. Our ministerial team has put together some wonderful things, of course, with our fabulous music team over here as well. So we have Holy Thursday. You don't want to miss that. We invite you to bring soup and let's break bread together. You know, the healing takes place around the round table in the Friendship Hall, so come and be a part of that. And just and then on Friday, we have Good Friday, of course. That's a wonderful service, and Saturday as well. A lot of activities going on here. I don't know if we have children out there or not, but let's stand. We do. Let's stand. Let's bless these children. Their parents, too.
We also celebrated Palm Sunday in the nursery today, and we made our fan palms out of palms of hands. What?
Oh.
Very punny. So we have our extravaganza coming up next Saturday, or this coming Saturday. We still could use a few more folks to help with some of our activities. So if you would love to be a part of that day, it goes from 1 to 3 p.m. Come and see me. We'd love to put you to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassidy, and we appreciate you and our Youth and Family Ministry Department. Today, before you leave the sanctuary, I wish at least three people Happy Palm Sunday. Speak to three people, and as I said often, it can change your life. People's gotten married because of it. It can change your life, okay? So let's do that. So let us know together our prayer for protection, and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well.
With God as our creator, family.
when I closed my eyes so I would not see. My Lord did trouble me. When I let things stand, should not be. My Lord did trouble me. When I held my head too high, too proud, my Lord did trouble me. When I raised my voice too little, too loud, my Lord did trouble me. Did trouble me with a word or sigh, with a ringing of the bell in the back of my mind. Did trouble me. Did stir my soul far to make me human and make me whole. When I slept too long, I slept too deep,
my Lord did trouble me.
A worrisome vision into my sleep,
my Lord did trouble me.
When I held myself away and apart,
my Lord did trouble me.
And the tears of my brother didn't move my heart,
my Lord did trouble me.
Did trouble me with a word of sigh, with a ringing of the bell in the back of my mind. Did trouble me. Did stir my soul.
Whisper
of the wind in the rhythm of a song.